This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs, Connecticut. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you're about to listen to Bicycle Talk. This is Bicycle Talk. It's February 15th, 2017, and I am here with my lovely co-host, Fran Storch, who is healthy today. Yay, healthy Fran. That's always good. She was not with me last week because of health issues, but there's some viruses and weird things going on here. Anyway, Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, please call or text at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, or you can also visit on the Bicycle Talk site on Facebook. So anything you wish to contribute, if you have some tips or some information which you think you'd like to share with us, we would love to see it. And we are always welcome to anything new that we can speak about on the show. If you would like to be a guest on the show, you can contact me too. Anyway, moving on, Ron's rant of the week. We have to have our rant of the week. And my rant of the week is related to our weather right now, because we just got a couple of good-sized snowstorms that came through here. We're up in the Northeast, and the roads got pretty nasty, and, you know, there's nothing like a foot and a half of snow to mess up the roads. And, of course, when the roads get messed up, the cycling, the road cycling at least, goes kind of dormant. Also, the mountain cycling gets a little bit tested on this too, because unless you have something that is able to operate in really, really snowy areas, I would say a fat bike might be a nice idea on this. The mountain bicycles with the very, very wide tires seem to work well in deep snow. But even then, it helps to have things matted down a little bit. So anyway, that's the problem with the snow. So my rant of the week is going to be narrow roads and cyclists on them. Okay, I know I'm pointing at the cyclist here. I am giving you roadies a hard time. I am not giving you a hard time because of the fact that I have not done this myself, because I have done this myself. And this is a problem. When the roads get full of snow and there's no place to go on the edges of the roads, we're in the way. We're kind of in the way. And this is a tough one. So you need to choose your roads carefully, especially if you are going to be out riding this time of year. Now, if you're commuting and this is the way you get around, I completely understand. You've just got to get out there and you got to deal with it. And a very major tip of the hat and helmet to you. For being such a road warrior and being out there and riding in this type of weather, because this is really tough. It's a really, really tough thing to do. But if you are a road cyclist who normally is riding during the better weather of the year and you're feeling like you have to get your miles in, why don't you consider doing it somewhere else? So I'm going to make some suggestions today. This is going to segue us into the show for the day. The show for the day is going to be on indoor alternatives and what you can do to stay fit or at least start your fitness for the year inside. So anyway, lots of things we can discuss here. Obviously, we had a show a couple of weeks ago where we had a number of Mad Dog certified spinning instructors on the air, and that was myself being one, Fran being another one, and then our friend Carrie Jenkins being another. And we discussed what it's like to take your first spin class, what it's like to be in a spin class, what it's like to work hard and also have fun at it at the same time. So spinning is a great idea. Going to an organized indoor class definitely gives you some motivation and gets you going. But moving back on this just a little bit, let's talk about a number of things. First of all, let's look at where do you want to be come, well, let's say April. Because come April, we're going to finally get to the point where the sun's going to be high enough in the sky that we're going to start seeing those 50-degree days. Yeah, 50 degrees for those of you who are listening down south or on the west coast. Yeah, that's a warm day for us. But anyway, this is what we deal with. Anyway, those really, really nice days are actually, we look forward to the 50 degree days because it feels really warm after you've been in the teens or the single digits or sometimes below zero. So if we can find a day that it gets nice warm like that, we want to kind of have some fitness on our legs before we get there. So the idea is to not start riding your bike then, but start riding your bike either now, or maybe you might have started at the turn of the year because you have a plan and you've got a goal and you've got something that you're training for. The people that are racing their bicycles, I know that they generally start their training first of the year because the training races actually begin in March, and there are moments I've actually seen snow at training races before where it's actually snowing out and there's a training race going on, and it's kind of crazy, but you know, that's what people will do to get themselves going and get their legs going and get themselves in shape. So what do you do before that? Well, you need to set up some sort of a program, and I am a big believer in, if you are going to set up a program, you need to write it down or you need to put it on some sort of electronic schedule. You can use a calendar. You can use electronic calendar that breaks it down and shows you, you know, the different things that you're doing over, you know, week after week after week. And so it's important that you sit down, look at your goals, look at where you want to be, when you want to be there, and look at it realistically and set yourself up with a program. Now, as far as riding indoors goes, now indoors is, it's not the same as being outside. It's as much electronic information as we can throw at ourselves, as much video as we can put out in front of us, and motivational workouts that you put in front of you, there's just nothing like riding outside. When you ride outside, you've got so much more stimulation. You've got real hills, not virtual hills. And you just feel, everything feels a lot different once you get outside. So it's not going to be the same, but you can get really, really close. And I was reminded of this because I actually stopped by a bicycle shop yesterday, and the owner of the bicycle shop, this little shout out here to Bob at Manchester Cycle in Manchester, and he was climbing up on his bicycle, and he had a big screen TV in front of him, and he had an electronically controlled remote controlled fan. He has quite a little setup, and he's got his you know, he's got his keyboard right next to the side of him, and his bike is on a trainer. And his bike was on a nice trainer, and this one is one that actually has wattage control and can read your wattage and also hooks in electronically to the actual computer screen that he was tied into, which also changed his resistance when he was going up hills. And there's some pretty fancy stuff out there. You can invest in a quality trainer. There are a number of different ones out there. If you go online, you can find a listing of trainers. And it used to be one or two. Now the list is long. It's really long. And you can get a trainer that is what they call a smart trainer, which is designed to change resistance within a program. So if you are going up a 3 or 4 or 5% climb, it gets harder to pedal. It actually controls that for you, and you actually feel it, and you can feel the difference while you're riding. So there is that. These will also give you a readout on the screen. It'll show you how fast you're spinning your legs around because you've got sensors that are actually on the bike and also on the trainer, and they'll tell you how fast you're spinning your legs around if you're using a cadence monitor on there. They will give you a projected average speed or speed that you're at that particular time, a current speed. And if you are using one of these more sophisticated trainers, it's also going to give you your wattage output. And the wattage output, I have been told, is very, accurate. Like, it's very, very close to if you were to use a wattage meter on your bike, like the crank arm style wattage meter or bottom bracket style wattage meter. It's almost matches the numbers. So these are real close. This is kind of a neat thing. And I could talk a little more about those in a minute. But the so the idea is that there are a number of trainers out there, and you are, it is an investment. You're going to have to spend a little bit of money to make this happen, but it's an investment that you'll have for a long time. Most of these are Bluetooth and ANT compatible, so they will pick up electronic signals and they will relay it to the computer system and off you go. One of the most popular ones that's out there is, and I know a lot of people that are using this, is one called Zwift. And Zwift is spelled Z-W-I-F-T. You can look it up online, and it is a really neat thing. And that's what Bob was using last night. He was using a Zwift system. And what it does is you log into it. There is, I believe, a monthly fee involved. It's not very much considering gym memberships and other things that you might pay for if you are going to use it to stay fit. So it is a monthly fee, and you can log into it, and you have a user, a username and an identity on that system. You can find your friends on there if you have friends that are also using it. And the interesting thing is that you can also choose different rides that you want to go on. Let's say you want to do a really hilly ride, and you can, Bob said he was doing one last weekend. It was a 20-mile ride, and it had 2,000 feet of climbing. So it's a 20-mile uphill, 2,000 feet of climbing, 100 feet a mile is what he was climbing, which is really difficult. That's not an easy ride at all, and that will make you work awfully hard. But you can choose whatever they might have within their system, which they have quite a variety of rides that you can get involved with. They even have a number of different races that you can get involved in. So you can ride at all different levels of racing. They have like A, B, C, D, E. They have all these different levels, starting with the A level, which is your most difficult. And you're going to find that there's actually pros that are on that too. They actually use this as a training device in the wintertime. So you could be actually in a quote-unquote virtual race in which you'll be racing against a professional cyclist. I will say that you'll probably be humbled when you do that. But it's still kind of a neat thing to do, and you can gauge yourself against different people, and you can see what it's all about. A lot of times you get a community of people, like a bicycle club, where, you know, there's a handful of people, maybe 10 or 12 people that are within the club itself, and they're all connected to this system. And they might decide that, you know, on Tuesday nights, they all get together at 6 p.m. and they all hop on their bikes, and you can find each other, and then it'll line you up on the screen, and you can ride with one another. So you can actually go for a ride and get a great workout in, and get a lot of there's a lot of entertainment value here. There's the graphics are really cool, and people sort of like run through each other digitally on the screen, but nobody falls down. So that's a beautiful thing. So you can run into the guy's wheel in front of you and not fall over. So that's kind of a neat thing too. Very making it very, very safe. And you can even communicate to them. This was the funniest thing. Bob was riding last night, and he's riding along, and he sees someone else that is in his cycling club that has decided to join in, and he's out riding too. And he's a little bit behind him. So he ends up backing off on the pedals a little bit and lets him catch up. And you can see him advancing. You can see this, the avatar of the rider, and it's advancing and it's catching up to him. And when it catches up to him, he lets him, quote unquote, sit on his wheel. So he's virtually there sitting on his wheel, and he hits like the F2 key or something like that on his keyboard, and his right hand raises up and he waves to him. And it's so you can actually communicate with the other people that are out there with gestures when you're riding along with them. Now, the developer of this particular this particular program and website. Apparently, I have to chase this down because Bob said that he originally lived in or still does live in Bolton, Connecticut. So he is a local person here. And I would love to get him on to a show and we can talk about what he's doing and where he's going. But I guess what he's working on is he's working on a thing where you would be able to actually communicate verbally with the other people that you're riding with if you want to. And so that's coming soon, and that'll be working with cameras and microphones that are built into your computer, and you're just using your computer to do all of this. So if you're looking for a way to stay motivated in the wintertime and you're looking for something that's really going to inspire you, you can go in this direction. There are also other programs out there. I know that you can actually download a ride that you have done, a GPX file that you have done. So if you have a favorite ride that you like to go out and ride on, say, a 25 or a 30-mile ride, and you wish to simulate that or replicate it in some way, you can plug it into the actual trainer you're using. And I don't have information on that right now. If anybody has that and they would like to call in and talk to me about it, I'd love to hear from you. We can even put you on the air and we can talk it over. But anyway, these are set up so your favorite ride is now on your trainer. And if you really get crazy with it, you, of course, could film it. You could actually have a camera going and you could film the whole thing and you could get really, really crazed with it and then have the actual ride that you're on in front of you as you're riding your bicycle indoors. So there are ways to motivate you, to keep you going, to keep you focused on the idea of you're really on your bicycle and doing this, because I'll tell you, it's boring. It's not an easy thing to sit on the bike. Another thing that I don't recommend going much more than 2 hours indoors on your bike. That it's kind of counterproductive when you get to that point. The best rides that you can do on the bike are an hour or less. They are high intensity rides, interval oriented. Yes, you do have days that you can just get on and just roll your legs out and just kind of shake them out, especially if you had a hard day the day before. But when you do the hard work, you want to be doing short burst, high intensity intervals. And there are a number of ideas out there as to how to put something like that together. You can talk to friends that do this and they can kind of give you an idea. If you talk to your local spin guy like me or indoor cycling guy who teaches a lot of classes, I can give you a pile of ideas and different ways that you can work yourself super hard. But I find that the intervals that are 30 seconds or less are probably the most effective ones that are out there, because they're really high burst, really, really difficult to do, and they wear at you after a while. So I find those to work really, really well. We did a really cool workout this morning, and I had found this neat idea online, and because I am connected to a lot of a very large online audience, and I did this really cool workout where all we were doing were we the bikes that we use actually have wattage, and if you go to a good quality gym, you're going to find that if they have decent bicycles there, you'll find a lot of them now have wattage meters on them. So they'll actually tell you how many watts you're putting out. They're not as accurate as your own bicycle on an actual trainer, but they're still going to be pretty close and they're going to give you numbers to look at. So they'll have wattage on them, and most of them now have cadence on them too. So they tell you how fast you're spinning your legs around. I am very fortunate. The gym that I teach at has bicycles that are made by a company called Kaiser, and they're very good, very good bikes. They're accurate, fairly accurate, and they really give you a lot of positive information. And you can even tie in your heart rate monitor to it, so you can wear a polar heart rate strap, and it will actually read on the computer in front of you too, so you know exactly where your heart rate's at too, which is handy. It's a really helpful thing. And so anyway, I warmed everybody up this morning, and I got them all ready to go and explained what we were going to be doing for a workout. And this was a really simple one, and it was a matter of getting people up to a level of riding their bikes a little over what I like to call comfortably hard, or in zone three. So really pushing over the edge of zone three, just into zone four. So you're working a little bit harder, and you're at a point where you're no longer aerobic, you're now anaerobic. So you're doing the hard work. When you go anaerobic, that's where the hard work begins. That's where the hard work adds up for you and makes you stronger and tougher, and it really works well. What we did was we did a very simple thing where we added 10 RPMs onto your normal cadence. So you have your normal cadence. Let's say you get on a bike and your normal cadence is about 90 RPMs. That's our average anyway for most people. And it's kind of the accepted norm. So you're at 90 RPMs. So for 30 seconds, you take that same resistance that you have on the bike. We were adding one gear onto it, so a little more resistance driving you right into zone four. And then you just bring it up by 10 RPMs for 30 seconds. Sounds really simple, doesn't it? Well, it is very simple at first. And so you'll do that for 30 seconds, and that's a fairly long time. And then you go 10 RPMs below your normal spin for 30 seconds. And that gives you a chance to recover a little bit. It gives you a chance to catch your breath a little bit, but you never change the gear. So the gear that you're in stays the same. So you're working at, you're still working at a fairly high resistance on the bike. And then you repeat this, and you repeat it six times. So you do six sets, and then you're done with one set. And then you take a little break in between. And when I say a little break in between, I generally am teaching indoor classes, and I don't want people to get too bored. Our rest periods are not super long, but usually a couple of minutes will give you a chance to get your breathing back down and get your heart rate back down and get hydrated and get yourself psyched up to do another one. And we actually did three sets of these, but I progressively added a little more resistance to each one of them. So it got a lot harder as we got into it. And it made a very interesting workout. And it basically, the time flies by when you're doing this because you're so involved with paying attention to the numbers on the screen in front of you, you don't realize how quickly the time goes by. And before you know it, you've been on the bike for 45 minutes, maybe close to an hour, and you're ready to cool it down and call it a day. So there's some really neat things you can do. That's just a sample workout. I do other ones called Tabata drills, which are ridiculously hard. And you can look that one up online too if you wish. Tabata. Developed by an exercise physiologist in Japan by the name of Izumi Tabata. And he developed this back in the 60s. And it is possibly the most intense and difficult workout I have ever done on a bicycle indoors. And you can also apply these outdoors if you want. But I would really encourage an area where there's no traffic because of the intensity that you have to focus on your bike to keep yourself staying with the workout. But anyway, so there are different drills that you can do, and there are lots of ideas out there. The more I get into this, the more people I'm connected to, and the more I see, you know, how many different ways you can set yourself up. So there's different training programs out there. I'm going to go back up to, we talked about, you know, setting yourself up with a schedule. Well, that's a great idea. Set yourself up with a schedule. Come up with a plan so that you can come up with a way of gradually increasing your workouts so that you're going to actually get stronger. And that's what it's all about. You want to get a little stronger. You want to become a little more fit. And the whole goal here is to be able to hit the road when the weather starts getting nice and feel, you know, somewhat human when you get out there. It's not the same as riding outside. I will tell you right away, it is not the same as riding outside. I know people that do these programs, and they do a lot of indoor cycling, but they always try to get out once a week if they can, at least get on the road once a week to get that, you know, the feel of the road back, which is kind of nice. But it's not a substitute. It's just a way to keep your fitness, and that's important. You wanna set goals, and you wanna keep your fitness. And there's a end result here, and the end result is that you're in shape at an earlier part of your day, of your year, and you get to enjoy your riding longer because of that. So it's so much nicer to go out and ride on your first ride, and if you've got a number of hours on your legs, and then you go to get outside and get on your bike, it's so nice to have some miles on your legs and some hours on your legs, and also to have your butt feels a lot better too if you've been sitting on a seat all winter long. So anyway, these are things that will help you get motivated and get out there. The nice thing that I like to talk about too when I'm setting goals too, especially for indoor cycling, is I don't like to look at it as miles. It's very hard to measure mileage on an indoor cycle. So I tend to find that a lot of the indoor cycling computers are generally not as accurate as they would be if you were actually out on the road. And so I like to look at it more from an hourly standpoint. So if I look at it from, okay, I went out, I did a class this morning, I warmed up, I taught the class, I cooled down afterwards. When I got done, I had spent an hour on the bike. I call it an hour on the bike. So that's an hour of work that I put out to add onto my list. So oftentimes when I am finally able to get myself on my road bike and get outside and actually ride, I can have up to, 70 or 80 hours on my legs before I've even put the rubber on the road. And what does that mean? It means the first ride still feels like an awful lot of work. It means that, gee, it sure seems like for all the time that I put in on the bike indoors, that this certainly seems difficult. And it is at first, because it's such a difference. It's such a difference in resistance when you're riding on the road. But it gives you a much quicker return to your fitness when you do get out there and actually start riding on a regular basis. So what I find is the first couple of rides are a little bit of a struggle and not always as exciting as I thought they were going to be, because I thought I would have all this great fitness under me. But then after that, I'm ready to go. And I will find that if I have been doing this all winter long, and then I go out and ride with a number of people that were not doing anything all winter long, or where they were riding on the couch with the clicker and watching a lot of cycling videos, getting excited for cycling, but not really doing anything about it, then you can see the big difference right there. And the fitness just comes back a lot quicker if you have kept yourself moving all winter long. So there are other things you can do to keep yourself moving all winter long too. It is not against the rules to not ride the bike. It is not a problem if you've decided that on your quote unquote long day, or the day that you would normally have put in a little bit longer ride, maybe an hour and a half ride, 2 hour ride, that instead you go for a walk. And that's a good thing, actually. I think it's a really good thing, because it's more weight-bearing exercise, so it's a little bit better as far as your bones and your joints go. I think it's a good thing. And it also gives you a little bit of diversity as far as your fitness goes. And again, if you have the ability to go for a run, running is great too, because running will definitely give you a different sense of fitness, but still give you the cardiovascular fitness that you need and require when you do finally get back on your bike. So I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to cross-country skiing. I'm not opposed to snowshoeing. Right now, we have perfect conditions here for that. You can do it right out your door if you wish. And I will say that those are probably two of the hardest things I have ever done as far as physical activity goes. The moving your body on a set of snowshoes at a pretty good clip is way, way harder than you would think. And it looks like a pretty simple thing. You just put these big old shoes on, you go out and plop around in the snow. But when you do it, go out and break some new trail. Don't just go on the trails that are already broken. Try going on a trail that has not been broken yet, where you're really trudging through the deep snow, because you're not going to be sitting on top of the snow. You're going to still drop down into the snow. The shoes will help you and they'll make a difference, but you are working super hard. I also encourage the use of poles, like ski poles, if you're out doing this sort of thing, because you can get some upper body work in there too, which is nice. You get to work a little bit on your core. You get to push yourself up the hills with your arms a bit, as well as walking up the hill. So you get an awful lot out of a pair of snowshoes. So and snowshoes are actually a fairly minimal investment too. But they do require one very, very important thing, and that is snow. And if you don't have enough snow, that it's just not nearly as much fun as it is when you've got a foot of snow on the ground. And that just makes things all much more fun. Cross-country skiing, great exercise, great work. I discovered a form of cross-country skiing a number of years ago called skate skiing. And it is, you're on cross-country skis, but you wax your skis for speed, not for grip, which is kind of opposite what you would normally use when if you were doing the diagonal stride on a set of cross-country skis. So it's a very, very different thing. And you actually wear them, you actually use them like a pair of giant ice skates, is what you do. And you need, but you do need a groomed area, and you need a, it has to be fairly well groomed, so it's got to be flattened down and smooth, and that's the way that works. Otherwise, you're not going to get the grip and make it happen. Probably of all the cross-country skiing that I've done, I would say that is the most intense and the hardest workout I've done on a pair of skis in my life. And it's fun, it's fast, and physically demanding. And the big thing is, when you get back on your bike in the spring, if you have been doing that on a regular basis, I think it is possibly the most important piece of exercise you could do to be helpful to your cycling. When I got back on my bike after spending a winter of skate skiing, when we had just incredible snow and I was off every weekend going to groomed courses and skiing, I got back on my bike. I've never experienced being that fit and getting back on my bike in the spring. The only thing that was a problem was sitting on the bike seat, because I hadn't done that all winter. And of course, those first couple of rides can be, well, they can be enlightening, let's say. They definitely hurt a bit when you get out there. But anyway, skate skiing, highly recommended. If you've never done it, and you can find a place that you can rent some equipment and maybe get a lesson and be taught how to do it, it's an incredible exercise, and it will do wonders for your cycling. Don't discount ice skating. Ice skating is another good thing to do. Ice skating is something that is, it's a similar activity. It's explode and release, just like it is when you're cycling. If you think about when you're riding your bike, you're pushing and pulling through your stroke. You're exploding. Your legs are reacting, and the muscles are exploding, and they're powering through, and then they're releasing on the back way through. So your explode and release, it's just like that when you skate. You're pushing and releasing, pushing and releasing. And it uses a lot of quadricep muscles, which you use a lot on your bike. It uses a lot of your glutes, which you use a lot on your bike if you're riding correctly. So I find that skating is just, it's a blast. And if you can find a place that you can do it, and that would be either a pond or lake that is frozen and you have perfect conditions for it, which isn't always easy to find, or you can find an indoor rink, you can put an hour or two in on your ice skates and you can get an awful lot out of it. Really makes a big, big difference. And you will feel that when you get back out on the road. That's one of the things I did back in my earlier years when I was racing my bicycle. I used to spend hours right here on UConn campus at the ice rink. There were a lot of open skate hours here, and we were able to get up here, and you know, I could skate for an hour or two, or sometimes almost 3 hours, depending on the session. If the students were gone, then there was some extra time here. So in the dead of winter, when everyone is away on winter break, you got a little extra ice time, which was kind of nice. And you could just go out and skate for hours. And you get done doing that for, let's say, a couple of hours on a pair of ice skates, and your legs have that same feeling as you get when you're riding your bike and you get done with a ride and you've climbed a bunch of hills and you feel that same thing. You feel that same tiredness in the legs and you feel like you've actually done something, and you also can get some good cardio out of it. Don't be afraid to wear your heart rate monitor when you do this. Take a look, see where you're at. Try to get your distance riding in by doing it on a pair of ice skates or on a pair of skis. I found that I was never able to really, really crank it up on my skates because I was usually skating at a rink and you didn't want to get yourself in any kind of trouble and hurt anyone because you're going too fast. And so I would use it as a way to do my long, slow distance training. And I could go up and I could put a couple hours in. And, you know, if you did that 3 or 4 or even 5 days a week, all of a sudden now you've got, 10 hours on your legs. And again, looking at hours, not miles. So that's just a great way to establish a little bit more fitness. You can do the same thing running. You can do the same thing skiing. There are other activities you can do. You don't have to ride your bike. But if you are dead set on riding that bicycle and keeping your fitness on the bike, there is nothing quite like riding a bike. It's a different action, and it has a specific function that you're doing, and you're going to be able to use your leg memories and muscle memories to then transfer that over to the road when you get back out on the road. And again, there's nothing quite like it. And the fact that you're sitting on that bike seat in the wintertime, it sure makes a really big difference when you first get back out on the road again. So there's ways you can keep yourself motivated. There's ways you can keep yourself fit. The Zwift program, I'm sold. I think it's a pretty cool thing. And it's a great way to get involved with both on your own or also with friends. And, you may meet some new friends because you might be riding with somebody from Australia. You never know. There's people all over the world that are on this thing. I can't believe the numbers of people that are using this thing. So it's a neat idea. If you get a chance to look it up, check it out. You can kind of do a little roll through on their website and you can see exactly what it is that they offer. But anyway, the idea here is that we want, the end goal is to make it so that you're feeling somewhat human when you get back on your bike in the spring. So you set up your program. Another thing that like Fran likes to do is she not only works on her cycle fitness over the wintertime, but she does a lot of work on her core over the wintertime too, which is extremely important because your core work will help you hold your position on your bike better. It'll help you transfer your power better. So you're going to be able to get some benefit out of that too. And, Fran's got a whole routine that she does a couple days a week. I think you do that, yeah. Right, Fran?
That's right. Yeah. I find that winter training can be, last few years that I've done winter training, I've really enjoyed it. One of the things, I had somebody come in not too long ago, and they were talking about, they got into their Fitbit, and did you know that in Fitbit, just like you can compete on the Zwift that you were talking about,
yeah,
you can get in contests with people you don't even know for times and distances on treadmills and things on the Fitbit.
On Fitbit.
So
really?
So a woman was getting sort of obsessed about getting in so much time on the Fitbit so that she can compete in the little group that she was working in. And then after a while, it started to really annoy her because she was getting on at ridiculous times of night and she was doing the same thing over and over. And then she just stopped dead because she got tired of it.
Sure.
And so I said to her, okay, well, here's one of the things that was hard for you. And that was that, first of all, you were becoming obsessed. And second of all, you were forcing yourself to do the same thing every day. So one of the things that's really important, I think, is whether it's now or it's June, you don't want to do the same thing every day. You don't want to push yourself as hard. You want to have hard days and easy days. And if you're training, you want to be doing different things on different days. And I find that that's really exciting to me. So when I do training, my training is basically broken up into, my winter training is basically broken into two different days where I'm doing intervals. One of the days is very short intervals. One of the days is longer intervals.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how far into the training I'm in and what week it is, that'll determine the number of intervals. I'll have one day where I go long, and the first long day is generally an hour and a half. And the hour and a half, because if it's this kind of weather, it's going to be indoors.
Yeah.
So usually I'll incorporate a spin class into that so that part of that 1 hour, it's not so long. And if I'm just doing distance, like if one of the days I'm doing distance and one of the days there's an interval, then if I'm participating in a spin class, I don't push too hard in the spin class. So like, say, technically, I don't think I'm going to train this week because I'm still recovering from illness and I'm going to Florida next week. So
it's
I'm not going to start.
Yeah.
I'm not going to start my training program until I'm back from Florida, I'm pretty sure. And when I go to Florida, I'm just going to get on my bike because I'm be able to be on the road when I'm in Florida.
Right.
So I'm just going to
And you'll be warm and you can wear shorts.
Yeah. And I'm just going to ride. I'm not going to.
What a pleasure.
I'm not going to worry about doing my intervals.
No.
But, you know, but I do have my series laid out, and I will probably get back into the series when I get back. But what I've got in front of me is 2 days of the intervals, like I said. Then I have either Saturday or Sunday where I go long, and then on the other day, I have an amount of time I'm supposed to be working out. And within that, a shorter amount of time where I'm doing what we call a long interval. So, like, I have to keep my heart rate in tempo-ish zone.
Yeah.
So, in, like, between zone 3, zone 4, you know, high zone 3, low zone 4. And I have to keep it there for a certain amount of time for part of that ride. It's less than half of the ride. And so the two different days are different from one another. One of the days is long and the pace doesn't matter. And the other day is shorter but has that long tempo interval in there. And then one day a week, it's a shorter long day. So, you know, for example, Wednesday, I'm supposed to be on the bike for an hour and a half. And on a Wednesday, I would probably take a spin class and add 30 minutes. And that would be what I would do. And so that's 5 days a week, I think. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, that's 5 days a week. So 2 days a week, I'm not doing any of that. I'm doing either whatever I want, something else, nothing. One of those days, I'm generally doing nothing. One of the days, generally Friday is my day where I do not exercise at all.
I think the key here is consistency.
Consistency. Consistency, but also change it up. Because if you don't change it up, you're going to make yourself nuts.
Yeah, you
are.
And
you want to do different things, different days. And the other thing is to have some kind of resistance training in there. And I have a short half-hour routine that I do twice a week. It's set there for me to do all year. And I change it a little bit depending on the time of year. But it's there for me to do all year. It's mostly core. It's some stabilization for legs and a little bit of upper body. And it's designed so that I can wham, bam, it's done. Now, this time of year, I might throw in some extra cool things. Like I might go to yoga class. And if the yoga class is at least a moderate class, I'm going to get some resistance training benefit. And the thing that I have discovered this year that I think is fabulous for cycling is bar class. It's incredible because, and but bar class basically is, you know, don't let the ballet bar scare you away.
But it's a core thing, is it?
Really hard exercise class.
So a Pilates core, class could do the same thing as
Pilates
class.
Absolutely. Well, I basically bar class is standing up Pilates. That's really all it is.
Yep.
It's very similar to Pilates, except that instead of being on the floor for most of the work, you're standing up. And so you're at the bar, you're doing 9 million reps of all these squats and pliés and kicks and, you know, it's lots of body weight exercises. So if you're not real excited about being in the weight room and you don't mind somebody barking at you, telling you what to do, you get in this class, you do what the teacher tells you, you're done in an hour, and it's hard and it can even hurt. And after you're done, you feel fantastic. And so there is a lot of core in it. I mean, when you're doing the stuff at the bar, you have to hold your core in order to hold the poses.
Right.
But they also actually do at the end of the workout, towards the end of the workout, the last thing they do is they put you on the floor and they have you do actual what you would think of as core exercises.
And you make a point here too. It's that I want to add to, and that is that a lot of us have a hard time staying focused on doing our core work, and so we're not as well motivated with it. You know, go to a class, hire someone.
Yeah.
Have someone that will, you know, you're going to have to pay a little bit to do this, but do it. Do it so that it kind of kicks you in the butt and gets you out there and gets you motivated.
Or get a list of five things that you'll do. Just five things.
Right.
I mean, I have a core workout that I do that I've been doing the same one now for about a year. And one should say, shouldn't you change it up? Yeah, I should probably change it up. But you know what? What I do it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different exercises in there. So I figure even if I'm doing the same thing over and over, there's five different exercises in there.
Right.
So there's a section of my half hour that's just, you know, classically core, where I'm lying on a ball and I'm doing crunches and I'm doing butt lifts and planks. And that happens at least twice a week.
I have a handout that I give to people that has, it's 5-minute plank workout is what it is. And it's just 5 minutes and that's it. And that seems like, wow, 5 minutes, that's an awful lot of, you know, core work. But, you know, you're switching. You're going from one to side planks to front planks. You're doing different things and holding things for 30 seconds. You're holding it for 45. You're holding it for a minute, whatever it is. It doesn't take a lot. One of the most interesting and hardest things I have ever done are wall sits, the wall seat things where you just put your back up against the wall like you're sitting in a chair and just hold yourself there. Really, really hard to do, but really good for you and really good for your cycling. And so, you know, there are things that you can do that will help you. The doing a lot of heavy leg work for cycling in the wintertime, I do not recommend at all. I find that because of the nature of cycling and the fact that it is a lot of high reps at low weights, when you really think of the actual action that you're going through on the bike, that doing that heavy workout in the gym is just going to make your body heavier. And
I really think the bar class, even though in the bar class you're doing a lot of leg exercises,
mm-hmm.
but it is all body weight.
Right.
But you are doing a lot of reps and you will build muscle mass and you'll lean out your legs. Mm-hmm. I really am hoping that I get to do more bar before the season ends, and I might even try, you know, occasionally doing bar during the season.
You know, our friend Carrie that was on a few weeks ago,
that
she teaches bar.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's places around here you could probably do that, which is kind of nice. The the point here is to build a strong core. Why do I want to build a strong core? What difference does that make? I need legs. I need legs for cycling. I need my lungs for cycling. I need my heart for cycling.
You need to be able to sit on your saddle and not sit into it and hurt your butt.
You need all of those things, but you also need to be able to hold your position on the bike.
You got it.
Because when it comes down to a certain speed on the bike, and it roughly is about 18 miles an hour, when you get to the point of 18 miles an hour on your bicycle, it's no longer, yes, the fitness helps. The fitness makes a big, big difference. But if you want to go faster, it's all about the position. It's all about your position on the bike. And that's why being sized correctly on the bicycle and being in the proper position on the bike is a much more beneficial way of making yourself faster if your goal is to become faster. But again, if your goal is to become comfortable on your bike, because some people say, oh, I just can't sit on that saddle for more than an hour. It's just really hard. Or, you know, after 2 hours, my neck hurts and this bothers me and all. It's probably your core. It's probably something you're not doing right. And that's probably why you're running into problems like that. So your core is such an important thing to work on, as well as your training in the wintertime on the bike or in the spin class or wherever it is. So setting goals for the winter, you want to look at the end result. You want to go back to, when do I want to be able to be fit again or feeling like I am not going to be struggling when I get on the bike? So you look at your calendar, take a quick look, break it down, see what it is that is working for you. Maybe you've got a ride coming up. Maybe there's a springtime metric century that you're planning on riding on, and you need to get your miles up for that. Maybe you're looking at later on in the season, you're looking at doing a really long ride. Maybe you're looking at doing a full century. You can work to these things, and it doesn't require a lot. Even Bicycling Magazine has an 8-week training plan to riding a century. So you can, and I don't entirely agree with this program, because I've read it over and I'm looking at it, and it says 8-week training plan to riding a century. Train for the 100-mile, they call it a race, which is not a race, but anyway, in just 3 rides per week. Well, that's really pushing the limits, but I guess you could do it. You're certainly going to, you'll be able to complete it, but you will not be, I think you're going to be hurting if you're only doing it on 3 days a week. I tend to look at it once again in hours, not in miles. So I find that if I am going to be doing a long ride, either a metric or a full century, a 100K or 100-mile ride, I find that it's all about the hours that I have on my legs, and whether they be indoor hours or outdoor hours, outdoor being preferred, I think it's about the hours. So my sweet spot, and everybody's going to be different, so I'm just going to tell you what mine is. My sweet spot is somewhere around 10 to 12 hours a week. If I'm doing 10 or 12 hours a week, I can keep in pretty good shape. And of those hours that I'm working, there's during the weekdays, or the rides are only going to be, or the workouts are only going to be for an hour. So that means that when you get to a weekend, that you have to have a long ride on the weekend. And if you're doing this 100-mile plan and you do the steady increase, you'll find that they actually have you riding, you know, 4.5 to 5 hours as you're in week 7, getting ready to do your century ride. And that's only 70 to 75 miles of riding to do a 100-mile ride. I don't agree with that. I think that you need to increase that by at least another 10 miles. I think that an 85-mile ride, once you've got that one in the bag, you'll be able to do the 100-mile ride like it's not even there. And it will not be that difficult. But you do have to step up to it gradually. And I'm a real big believer in the 10% plan, where you only add 10% on each week. If you can do that, that's great. If you've already got a base to start with, and your base is already that, you know, well, I've been doing, you know, 3 indoor classes a week, and so I already have 3 hours a week that I'm doing right now, and then I'm also doing some walking on a couple of other days, and or I'm ice skating or doing some other type of exercise, and so your workout time is basing somewhere around 5 or 6 hours a week already, then you can build off of that. But again, 10% is a great number, because it's an injury-free number, and if you go over that, you start risking the possibility of injury. And nobody wants that, because then you have to start all over again. So you really want to try to avoid that if you can. Again, this plan, this 8-week plan that Bicycling Magazine has published, is it's a good It's a good guide. It'll get you started. It'll give you, you know, a base idea to work with. But remember, we're all different. Everybody's a little bit different. We all have different bodies. We all have different schedules and things that we have to work within our schedules. The key point, and Franin talked about this earlier, is consistency. This is what we're really talking about. More important than anything else, it is all about consistency. You have to stay on a regular plan. And, you know, doing a class indoors, I'm a big advocate of it, because personally, if I wasn't teaching these classes, I would not be doing these classes. I have a hard time motivating myself. And so I find that once I became an instructor and started getting more involved in teaching other people and motivating other people, that my fitness got better because of the fact that I was far more consistent. So it makes a big difference. So take a look at your schedule, see what you can work out, look at where you're going and where you want to be, and it's get ready because, you know, spring is right around the corner. Next thing you know, it'll be like a, 50 degree day, and we'll be looking at the roads, and they won't be narrow anymore, and there'll actually be room for us out there. We can get out and ride our bikes on the roads, and the rail trails will have dried up, and they will have become no longer quagmires, because right now they're pretty mucky, and they will be for a while the snow melts and goes back into the soils. So, it comes on very, very quickly, so be prepared for it. Think about this. Let's get ourselves all ready to go and get back out there and get fit and get strong. This is a good thing. So look at your indoor fitness. Let's focus on a little bit more indoor fitness. If you want to talk about this more, you can contact me and we can talk about it even more about it. And we'll have a good time with this. So next week, I'm going to have a guest on. My guest will be Deb from Bicycles East in Glastonbury, and she is going to talk to us about a few interesting things, one being an owner of a bicycle shop and being a female, because believe it or not, it's a very male-dominated industry. And she and her husband, they own the store, and so she can give us some nice perspective there. And she's also going to talk about women's cycling. And I'd like to focus on this a little bit more. So if you're out there and you're a woman, you're a cyclist, and you want to get involved, we could put together a series on this. And it's, it would be kind of nice to explore this a little bit more, because I'd like to see more women on bicycles. It's a great activity. It's a really fun thing. Anyway, my name is Pedalin' Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, the upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you would like to contact me, you can contact me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, or you can visit my Facebook page called Bicycle Talk on Facebook. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember to keep that rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike, or get in and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs, Connecticut.